It's time to celebrate. Set sail with the Kim Pagano Show and Princess Cruises on a weekend getaway sailing September 17th through 21st. Don't miss your chance to relax, unwind, and come back new. With rates starting at just $449, you don't want to miss out on this amazing deal that includes meals, entertainment, and accommodations. Contact Nikki Baldwin today to reserve your room. 805-312-4449. Again, that's 805-312-4449. Terms and restrictions apply. Ships of British and Bermudan Registry.
CST number 1005430-10.
Do you know someone suffering from addiction? Call 866-547-6451 or visit us on the web at SoberMalibu.com today. Sober Recovery Center is the only Joint Commission accredited addiction treatment center in Malibu. At the Sober Recovery Center, we treat the underlying psychological disorders and the symptoms of addiction. We live by the creed that one size does not fit all. The bottom line is we provide treatment that works for you or your loved one. Call 866-547-6451 or visit SoberMalibu.com for immediate help for any drug or alcohol problem. Our expert team is committed to helping develop a customized program to ensure your recovery experience is life-changing. The SRC program is the only affordable program to offer such a high quality of care with so many therapies from renowned therapists. Our therapists and doctors will assist you by providing the necessary tools to manage your life and address the issues that have plagued you. Counselors are ready to help you and your loved ones 24 hours a day. That's 866-547-6451 or visit SoberMalibu.com today. Help is just a call away at 866-547-6451.
If you're a business owner or looking to be one, put Littlefoot Construction on the top of your list. Littlefoot Construction specializes in restaurant remodels, tenant improvements, office remodels. Call Littlefoot Construction with all your commercial and industrial needs. Littlefoot Construction works with big or small businesses, or even if it's a dream, Littlefoot Construction will make your vision come true. Call Littlefoot Construction at 805-491-2759. That's 805-491-2759 for all your construction needs.
Surfaces USA is your natural stone and tile superstore. Come browse the largest selection of natural stone, glass, porcelain, ceramic, and composite tile and slabs. Choose your kitchen or bath countertops from our rich selection of unique and exotic granite, marble, and onyx slabs. Ask about our installation project management and free design consultation services. We bring the wholesale directly to the public. Call us today, 805-604-1568, or visit us online at www.surfacesusa.com. Conveniently located at 380 South Lombard Street in Oxnard. Surfaces USA will help make your dream home a reality.
To the Brighter Side of Recovery, sponsored by Sober Recovery Center. Finally, a radio show that not only tackles the brighter side of addiction, recovery, mental health, and anything in life that you are recovering from, but also a show with the answers for family, friends, and those who love an addict. Hosted by award-winning radio show host and motivational leader Kim Pagano, Sherry Gaba, a psychotherapist and certified recovery coach, and Jennifer Chastain, an advocate for the community. Tune in for the Brighter Side of Recovery on the Kim Pagano Show from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. They bring you the experts, authors, and professionals that speak to the issues that are important to you, the listener. Give them the questions, and they will bring you the solutions to whatever you are recovering from. And now, here's Ventura County's favorite radio show host, it's Kim Pagano.
Welcome, welcome, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us today here on The Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Addiction. I hope that you tuned in to our morning shows, and that is 6 to 7, 7 to 8, where we talk about the brighter side of life. And Again, for anybody that's just joining us, I'm Kim. I'm here with Sherry Gaba. How are you?
Hi, I'm fantastic. Great. So happy to be here this afternoon.
And Jennifer, you've been here with me all day today.
I have. I'm doing great. I'm ready for this next hour of our show.
There you go. And Tom, how's it going?
Everything's good over here on Saturday afternoon, Kim.
There you go. Well, we have a great show, and Warren Broad is on with us right now, and I feel so honored because he comes all the way from Canada to be with us here. Warren, how are you?
Oh, it's great to be here. Thanks so much for the warm welcome.
Of course, of course. And for anybody that's just tuning in with us right now, we talk about anything that you're waking up to in life. And Warren, I'm going to let you kind of start this one and just kind of tell us what's going on in your life.
Well, what's going on in my life is that day to day, I'm working with clients in all various forms of recovery and constantly learning new things about how we can be most effective in creating that change for people that really allows them to go past abstinence and into recovery itself.
There you go. And of course, Warren Broad is a clinical hypnotherapist, and you work with addictions, and you're a coach, a life coach, and you do like so many other things. But people can get in touch with you online through your website. You've got a great website. I know you do a lot of blogging. Tell them kind of the ways that they can get in touch with you.
Really, the best place is my website at warrenbroad.com, and there are various places there to get to make direct contact with me.
Perfect. You know, Warren also has a book. I'm sure he's mentioned it a couple times, but you know, Warren, you ought to do a shout out about your book because it really does speak to the subject of, you know, recovery kind of indirectly.
It does. Thanks, Sherry. It's called "It's the Landing That Counts," and we phrased it that simply because, you know, quite often we go into what we call free fall, where kind of the rug tends to be pulled out from underneath us.
Wow.
And ultimately, we are all looking to create a landing. This is the imagery we kind of use to let people understand that when you have an image like that of creating your landing, it's much easier to move out of free fall, out of transition. And we're all looking to get that landing that allows us to move forward with our lives.
Oh, right. Wow. Warren Broad, where do we get that? The Landing That Counts. Love the name.
The website itself is itsthelandingthatcounts.com.
Okay.
And there's some great multimedia stuff there, and they can order the book right online.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, for anybody that's just joining us right now, you are listening to The Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Recovery. This is sponsored by Soba Recovery. But not only that, we've got a lot of sponsors that help us out. Warren Broad is one of them. And
Evolve Treatment Centers right here in the 805.
Right. And tell everybody a little bit about Soba.
You know, the staff at the Soba Recovery Center is fully devoted to ridding one from addiction, substance abuse, drug or alcohol dependency, and relapse. Our expert team is committed to helping develop a customized program to ensure your recovery experience is life-changing. And I've been part of the Soba family for a long time, and I'm really proud that they are one of our sponsors.
There you go. Well, what I do want to do is give out our number here because we've got tons of giveaways, and that's really what our show likes to do is give back to all of our listeners. And we've got so many things that we are supporting and promoting and all the people that we're working with. So the phone number here is 805-419-0008, 419-0008. And we're so excited. Our first guest today is going to be David G. We're going to be talking about his book, Secrets of Meditation. And then, of course, one of my favorites, again, joining us is Melody Beatty. And she's a top author in codependency, but her new book is Make Miracles in 40 Days. And so we want to help you in any way that we can. So again, write this number down, 419-0008, 419-0008. Tom, let them know all the things that we're doing.
We have some great giveaways, $25 Mission Oaks Cafe gift certificate. Along with that, a $25 gift certificate from Lure Fish House. California Strawberry Festival is coming to town. That is happening Saturday and Sunday, May 16th and 17th, 10 to 6:30 the whole day. You can spend it there with the family. You might win tickets from Kim. The Rotary Clubs of Thousand Oaks and the Caneo Valley present the 39th Annual Chili Cook-Off. This is a whole lot of fun. Great for the family. A classic car show along with that, too. That's Saturday, April 25th. Loving Heart Hospice Foundation presenting the Kentucky Derby Gala May 2nd, 2 to 6 o'clock. If you're into that horse race, one of the jewels of the Triple Crown, you can go to that and enjoy that. Kaneo Valley Days, May 7th through 10th, Kaneo Creek Park in Thousand Oaks, Carnival Rides, the whole deal. The Cabrillo Music Theater presenting Mary Poppins all the way through to April 26th. And finally, the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library, Amazing Automobiles.
There you go. And let's start off with some Kaneo Valley Days. That's happening May 7th through the 10th. We've got tickets for you. Give us a call right now, 419-0008. And let's bring our first guest on. David G., are you there? David?
I am here.
How are you? Welcome.
I'm great. I'm really excited to be on with such a powerful force of nature, you guys.
Well, thank you.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
We want to say ditto and back on you, too. So tell us a little bit about yourself and your book and your journey.
I spent most of my time in the corporate world. And years before that, I had sort of learned to meditate just for a little bit. And I liked it, and it brought balance into my life. But as I got deeper and deeper into the world of corporate everything, my meditation practice gave way to everything else that I was doing. And in the wake of 9/11, I had been working in the World Trade Center at the time. And in the wake of 9/11, I sort of like left that world and went on my own eat, pray, love kind of journey without the eating and the love.
And, sorry to hear that.
A lot of prayer.
Hi, David and Sherry. Yeah.
Hi, Sherry. How are you?
Great. Nice to talk to you again.
Yeah, likewise. It was a joy for me to be on your show, so thank you so much for keeping the thread running.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
There you go.
We love good people.
There you go. That's it. You know, it's interesting. When you came off with starting it with being in the corporate world, that has such a stigma lately in that world because it's almost like you're doing what everybody else is doing, not what we're meant to do.
Right. Well, for some people, that is their path. The excitement, the glamour, the money, all that stuff, regardless of what the industry is that you think, you know, you're chasing, everything is really the journey of our noble purpose.
Yeah, and not that it's a bad thing. It's just that, you know, I mean, you can kind of take a hold of your reins, I would say, and be able to run your own life. But sometimes you have to stop and get off the horse for a second.
Well, especially because I think corporate America can take so much of you and not give you a lot of time to do for yourself.
There you go.
I want to ask you a question, David G., about meditation, because so many people know that it works. You know, I'm doing it now twice a day, and I think we've had this conversation. I do guided meditation. Why are people so resistant? Because the facts are there. There's scientific evidence that meditation calms us, slows us down, helps us with our health, breathing, living longer. Why do you think there's so much resistance?
I think the number one reason is that when you're given the choice, hey, you want to go out to the movies or you want to sit in the corner in the dark? You want to go out to dinner, or would you like to sit and do nothing? The alternative is always so extreme because the mindset is, well, really all I'm doing is doing nothing, and I could do that anytime. And so, you know, we live in this go, go, go crazy world where, you know, there's just a constant treadmill for everyone. And if you are sitting there with your eyes closed, you're considered, you know, a slacker or someone who's obviously not, you know, accomplishing anything in that moment. And I think, you know, when we came out of the womb at that earliest moment, you know, we were maybe like a couple of seconds old and the doctor whispered into our ear, here's the secret of life. Work hard and put a lot of effort in and keep focusing. And if it doesn't work, more focus. And if it still doesn't work, more effort. And if it still doesn't work, more focus. And so that's what we've been trained by every single, you know, birther that brought us into this world, that's what success is.
Wow.
Working hard, staying focused, and if it doesn't work, if you can't get that square peg into the round hole, push it harder.
I love it.
Crazy.
Warren, do you use meditation in your practice and with yourself?
Oh, absolutely. You know, clinical hypnosis is really just a branch off meditation, and it's something we use all the time. It's something that that I completely agree with. And a question I had for David was, you know, do you think that's also, you know, there's the society component that is telling us that we need to focus and push hard and achieve and make more money and all of that. But do you think that there's also, because this is something I believe, that there's a component also to our critical mind that tells us that this sitting still or this, you know, meditation thing is lacks purpose or lacks anything that can be tangibly.
Or we're not being productive, right, Warren?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you get so caught up in thinking, there's so many things I have to do. I need to be doing these things. And really, there's nothing wrong with taking an hour and just sitting there looking through a magazine. My immediate thing when Sherry was talking about why people don't meditate is, what would I think about?
Yeah.
And not to be funny, what are you supposed to think about when you meditate? Because I don't know that my brain can shut off like that.
It's not supposed to. That's the point. I think David will explain that. It's about having those thoughts and allowing them to go and not judging them and just letting them be.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Okay, so my husband and I have a new boat and we're out in the middle of the ocean. That is called isolation. There's nothing else out there than to just be with yourself. But not only that is... You do. You are kind of, it is a form of meditation out there. You're just with nature. And at first, you know, it was a little like, ooh,
I am not a camper. You know? I mean, you would probably look at me and say that is not a camper, but my boys like to camp and I grew up camping, but I kind of like to do it because there's nothing else to do but sit. Yeah. Like I cannot clean this place to make it look good. Like I can't redecorate it.
Yeah.
Like I have to just sit there and be. And that's kind of what I enjoy for one day, because that's all you can do is just sit there.
We're making good points that meditation doesn't have to be a one way, you know, one cookie cutter way. I mean, it can be different things like being in the water. When I canoe, I feel like I'm meditating.
Oh, I never thought of it that way. You're right.
Yeah. Just by mentioning being in the boat with your husband, that's a form of, meditation.
Yeah. David, so... There are different ways of meditating and also different, obviously your book is Secrets of Meditation. What are the secrets?
Well, the secrets of meditation are, reiterate what you guys have been saying, which is essentially you can meditate anywhere, under any circumstances, no matter what's going on in your world. And just to clarify, what's the definition of meditation? It was actually written down by Patanjali in the Yoga Sutras more than 2,000 years ago. In Sanskrit, he wrote, Yoga Chitta Vritti Nirodha, but in English, it just means, it's the progressive quieting of the fluctuations of the mind. So you can do that gardening, cooking, riding a horse, canoeing, sitting out in a boat. And I do believe that it's our conditioned world and our society, and certainly technology doesn't necessarily help that, says, what? You've got 8 free seconds? You better text or do something to fill those seconds. And there used to be a time where people like wrote a letter and put a postage stamp on it, and that's how they communicated. And it would take weeks maybe for the letter to get there.
Snail mail, right? It's interesting.
Right? And if you send a text to somebody now, if they don't respond in 10 seconds, there's an issue. So we've really shifted, and we have to... We have to acknowledge, well, this is the world we live in, so we need to grab those 8 seconds, those 10 seconds, those 20-second opportunities, and just close our eyes and follow our breath. Or when we're on the water, rather than turning it into a YouTube production, actually get out there and just enjoy it. So many people are filming their lives rather than actually living
in their lives. That's true. Have to say that's very true. Like you're not living the moment because you're trying to get that perfect picture.
And you missed it.
You missed it because yeah. You weren't even in the moment.
Warren?
I agree. But I also believe that, it's important that we see where these things can be incredible tools, because at the same time, some of what I've seen people filming in YouTube has turned into some of the most beautiful meditations that were not accessible even 5 years ago. And GoPro is not necessarily a bad thing.
This is how
are we using it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm talking about the 10 seconds when you're sitting in your car and you're stuck in traffic, and instead of just slowly breathing,
taking a deep breath, right? Yeah.
And just like sitting and allowing the moment to actually be, we're texting. Or we're filming. Listen, I'm big on social media. I film hundreds of meditations and I record them, and I'm on Twitter and Facebook and Pinterest and all those places. But I that's because I'm a professional teacher of meditation. The other 8 billion people on the planet who have opted not to meditate, they'd be served just by taking a few minutes here or there to just watch the sunset instead of film it one night, to sit on the water and not try to talk about how beautiful the situation is, but actually just experience. It's just a reminder. If we can just remind ourselves a couple of times throughout the day, if we can remind ourselves when we feel constricted to remember the serenity prayer, and if we can find ourselves when we're in like deep, deep, amazing moments, rather than filming or texting or talking, just to have some deep gratitude there. I think bouncing between gratitude practice and the serenity prayer, you can pretty much live an amazing life.
I mean, I think it just gets back to we live in an addictive society, and we're not just talking about drugs or alcohol. We're addicted to everything.
And I'm addicted to meditation.
Okay.
So when people say, isn't meditation an addiction also? I say, well, probably it is, but given all the possible choices, I think I'll select that one.
That's not that bad. Yeah, I mean, I don't like when people say, well, 12 steps, it's an addiction, okay? I mean, okay, well, it's probably better than being addicted to, heroin. I mean, I can never understand But I'm talking about our mindless activities.
Right.
Tend to be addictions.
Right. David, I know that you talk about we can actually relieve stress in any moment. Is there a certain way that you're talking about?
Well, I've taught tons of different techniques, but I would like to share this one technique with the listeners and with you guys.
Please.
Give us a meditation. I would love to just relax right now.
Yeah. Well, I call it.
Tell our listeners if they're driving. I don't know if that's where you're going, David, but pull over, right?
I think it's legally a good idea.
Okay.
So if you're driving while we do this, you can keep your eyes open. Otherwise, rock on and do whatever else is going on in your life.
Okay.
But the way that I teach law enforcement and military and super stressed out business people and celebrities who claim they don't have any time is to just show people the powerful benefit of just 16 seconds. How powerful that can be. So first, let's bring our attention to something that's been disturbing us or bothering us over the last couple of days. Don't go too deep. This isn't therapy. But just something, some disappointment or irritation over the last 2, 3, 5, 8 days. And maybe there's a person associated with this. So we could just put our attention, we could see that person's face in our mind's eye, and maybe we even feel this constriction someplace in our physical body. And now if we close our eyes, unless you're driving, and through your nostrils take a long, slow, deep breath in and watch that breath as it moves into your chest, down into your belly, and then hold it there once it gets to your belly. And just watch it. Witness it. Observe it. And now as you gently release, watch your breath move up through your chest, into your throat, into your sinuses, out through your nostrils again. And hold that breath out when you've gotten to the end of it and just watch it. And just observe it as it dissipates into the ether. And now you can open your eyes and you can breathe normally. That was 16 seconds.
Wow.
And for those 16 seconds, if you were playing along, you weren't thinking about the irritant. You weren't thinking about whatever was constricting you. We were all fully present.
David. I love where you just
took
us.
Anybody can meditate.
Yeah.
That was great.
Right. Anybody.
Wow.
So whether you are President Obama, no matter who you are,
right.
You have everybody's got 16 seconds.
Wow.
And so you can do that while you're on the phone with someone. You could do that in the middle of a meeting. You can do that when someone pushes your button. You could do that while you're sitting in traffic. You can do that just while you're relaxing on your boat, looking out into the water. That will bring you into the present moment.
So Warren or David, either one of you, Jennifer was talking about monkey mind, our thoughts just ruminating and going, having all these thoughts going all over the place. So what do you suggest to your clients or to your...
Yeah, to shut that off. I've heard of where you step down, you know what I mean? Is that something that you recommend or...
Well, I think that, we have 60,000 to 80,000 thoughts. So that's a thought every 1.2 seconds.
Wow.
Now, So that's a lot of thoughts.
Yeah.
And we don't want to stop them. Just like if we walked into a dark room, we wouldn't try to do something to the darkness. We would turn on a light. So just like we don't want to stop our thoughts, we don't want to do anything with our thoughts. We just want to drift our attention to some other object of our attention. In this case, it was our breath for 16 seconds. So it can be a mantra, it can be your breath, it can be a sunset, it can be a piece of chocolate, it can be gazing into somebody's eyes, but that will bring you into the present moment. So rather than trying to stop the onslaught of thoughts, it's like putting your personal ringer on silent. And we don't do anything with the thoughts.
Yeah.
You know, just remember, if there's no thoughts, you're flatlining. Thoughts alive. So
let's not try to do anything. That's true. Like, it's normal. Like, let's normalize our thoughts, even if we have a bunch of crazy thoughts. It's part of being awake and alive.
So that's 16 seconds that we just did. We probably had 14 thoughts flowing into us, but our attention was on the present moment. So we didn't stop the thoughts. We just had our attention on something else.
I just wanted to mention, because it's only a 30-minute show, if any of our listeners want to hear, then we have another 30 minutes, but I mean with right now with David. If they want to hear more of David, they could go to recoverytodaysummit.com and Warren. They have other, you know, they're speaking on that summit. I don't know if that's something that the listeners might want to do.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Come on, do that.
I know, I didn't sound that excited about it. I was like,
Warren, where did that take you? I love that it was 16 seconds.
It was a very short time.
I'm like one of those very fast people.
Because sometimes I'll even say, I can't, like, I need things to, like, shut down in my head before I can
But I love that flat line. That was really cool. Warren?
Well, I think David articulates it extremely well, that we're not looking to abolish thought, because that would be death. So really what we're trying to do is divert it to a place where it's useful, and also create a separation between what we've been talking about a little bit with monkey mind, that wants to jump all over the place, to something that is a little bit more steady and focused. And breath is one of the easiest ones, because we have to do it anyway. And when we divert that attention over, we have no choice but to become far more aware. And it's a useful tool.
There you go. You know, I just want to say I'm also on that.
Oh my God, Kim!
By the way,
Kim.
That's all right. It's all good.
Oh, no, that's right. Kim has a great interview, and what's great about it is it's a little bit different than what we do on the radio show. Really sorry about that.
No.
She talks about family and recovery and healthy communication.
I just was saying,
I had so many guests, and
it's all good. So David, and I do want to remind anybody that's just tuning in with us right now that you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show, the brighter side of recovery. We've got Warren Broad here. We got Sherry Geba and Jennifer Chastain and Tom Spence, and I'm Kim. We're talking with David G. We're talking about secrets of meditation. And David, let me ask you, I know that you talk about in your book 5 myths of meditation. Have we mentioned all of them?
Well, I think we've really touched, on really some of the most important ones. And I think the first myth that we all have, and I think everyone suffers from this concept, is that we have to stop thoughts. We don't have to stop thoughts. We don't have to clear the mind. What would you clear it with? A mind clear, and then you'd have one of those that you'd have to get rid of. So we don't even, have to even go there or drive ourselves crazy. I think the key is that we have to understand we are going to have thoughts, and when we have them, it's what we do with them that becomes the fabric of our life. So we can either go, I'm thinking about my mother-in-law, I'm thinking about that person I can't stand, and we just realize we can shift our attention in less than 16 seconds. We can just shift our attention to our breath, and it's in that 17th second that we are clearer, that we're a little more patient, that we're a little more understanding. So myth number one really is, the first thing you need to do is clear your thoughts or clear your mind or stop thoughts.
Right.
Absurd, ridiculous. I don't know, some evil meditation teacher came up with that 2,000 years ago.
Because we have a lot of people in recovery that listen to this show, I just want to say one of the benefits, I know we're talking about myths, but one of the benefits is that it levels us off so that we don't react. We don't. We're not so impulsive. I mean, that is what I see meditation being one of the greatest gifts.
Wait, to take a moment, just like, okay, I'm going to calm down.
No
question. Thinking about this.
No question. Yeah. And that's really important for people that are struggling.
Right, Tom. I know you had a question.
Yes, because if you are struggling out there, you know, most likely you are wrapped up more in a conditioned mindset. And when we introduce a little pattern interrupt, whether it's 16 seconds or 16 minutes or anywhere in between, we go into the next moment a little less conditioned. And that's really speaking to our most genuine self, which rests at the core of us, beneath all of our addictions, beneath all of our, you know, real world kind of needs that we think we have, or the conditioning from TV and radio and everything and the internet.
Right.
When we can touch our most genuine self, which is pure and whole and perfect, and just connect to that for a few seconds here and there, when we then open our eyes, we've got a little bit of that stillness and silence flowing into our next words, into our next actions. And that can be the difference between reaching for something that's non-nourishing and just opting to be patient and not reach for anything.
I love it. Tom?
I went through the TM course quite a few years ago. And the thing that was interesting for that, I work weird hours. So what would happen when I meditated?
You fall asleep.
Exactly.
Yeah, that
and
happens
that
to
got
me
to
all
be
the time.
That got to be somewhat of an issue.
But, so you fall asleep.
Well,
so,
if you got
to
go to work.
I don't think that. But again, that's not an issue. There are only three things that can happen to you when you meditate. You can fall asleep. You can experience stillness and silence, and you can have thoughts. That's it. So let's give ourselves permission to have thoughts since we're human. If you experience stillness, and I'm sure many of the listeners experienced a little stillness even in those 16 seconds, and the other thing is falling asleep. So if you fall asleep, what does it actually mean? It actually means you manage to quiet yourself and calm yourself and relax yourself enough so that you succumbed to the sleep that you needed. How amazing is that? What a gift you just gave yourself.
So don't see it
as an issue. See it as restorative and rejuvenative.
Wow. Yeah,
and Howard Stern is a huge TM proponent. And
With
this whole idea that everybody's all these, you know, dulled out Zen mode people, he uses it apparently like all the time.
Apparently it hasn't helped him, though, with his impulsiveness.
Well, he is, you know, he's focused, though, when it comes to his show.
Yeah.
Maybe a little impulsive.
Right, and we have to ask the question, gee, how impulsive would he be if he wasn't meditating?
That's a great point.
That's true. Do you always have to close your eyes?
You don't have to close your eyes. It just makes it a little easier, fewer distractions. But there are visual meditations, such as gazing at the stars or watching a sunset or gazing into each other's eyes. So that's a beautiful thing to have. But if we're trying to just not have so many hurdles to get calm, then closing our eyes is, you know, a beautiful thing to be able to do. Can't do that if we're sitting in the middle of a meeting, but we could still practice 16 seconds with our eyes open in that meeting.
Yeah. The next time my kids talk to me and I don't want to talk, I'm going to say, I'm meditating.
Yeah. 16-second pause, kids. Oh,
there you go. David G., where do we find your book?
You can visit me at davidg.com, davidji.com, and you can log on there, become a member of the David G. Sweet Spot community. And if you do that, you get free meditations. There's a couple of hundred of them up there. You can access, you know, essentially years of content, videos, and you can also get an autographed copy of Secrets of Meditation.
Wow, I love it. I love what you've said. I love what you're doing. And thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Recovery. We'd love to have you back again, and can't wait to look at your book and check it out.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me. You guys are doing, you know, the Lord's work. You're doing such brilliant, beautiful, magnificent work.
Well, thank
you.
And
I'm a fan. Consider me in your front row.
Thank you so much.
So,
and if you could go on and logs, you know, post something about us, that would be awesome.
That would be great.
On the Kim Pagano Show right there on Facebook or Twitter.
I'd love to.
Or any Instagram, any of them. We're all there. So, all right.
I'll do it on every place.
You got it. Thank you so much for joining us here. All right, we're going to take a really quick break. And, of course, Warren Broad, myself, Sherry Gaba, and Jennifer Chastain, Tom, we're all going to be back with you. And, again, you are tuned in to The Brighter Side of Recovery. Our next guest, one of my favorite, Melody Beatty. And we're going to talk about her book, Make Miracles in 40 Days, Codependency, something that we all have and something that she's got amazing books. I read them every single day. And again, this is another one of my favorite books that I want to share with all of you. Again, let's do something and give something away right now. And how about we've got the Rotary Club, Thousand Oaks, the 39th Annual Chili Cook-Off and Car Show. We've got tickets for you right here, 419-0008. 419-0008. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
I'm a lifelong Ventura County resident, and I hate to admit it, but I'm guilty of something, and I'm guilty of being what you call a hair jumper. And what that means is that I'm not really loyal to any one particular barber, stylist, or hair cutter, and that also means my hair doesn't always look as good or as great as it could. Until, that is, I met Kim Pagano, the one and only hair therapist of Westlake Village. Now, I wasn't a believer until I got up from her chair and saw the magic she did on this head of hair, and I know she's going to do the same for you. So give her a call, 818-612-0832. That's 818-612-0832. She's going to change your life. She's going to change the life of your hair, and she's going to end your days as a hair jumper. Give Kim Pagano, the hair therapist of Westlake Village, a call. It's 818-612-0832.
MJ Holt is the owner of Thermal Imaging of SoCal, where she assists people who want to know what's happening in their body right now. Approved by the FDA in 1982, digital infrared thermal imaging is an unsurpassed, safe, non-invasive screening technique that detects the sympathetic nervous system that reacts and responds to pain, pathology, injury, or dysfunction anywhere in the body that may go undetected with X-ray and other tools. Thermal Imaging of SoCal is located in Westlake Village, here to serve by appointment. Call Thermal Imaging of SoCal when you are ready, 310-463-2318, or visit tiofsc.com.
Hi, Allison Ross here from the Center for Eating Recovery to tell you the real reason why your last weight loss attempt didn't work. Diets offer food advice, but leave us to battle overwhelming food cravings that sabotage the effort. We help you to break free from the vicious yo-yo dieting cycle. As a psychotherapist specializing in eating, I have developed an 8-week course called Hunger Balance that works at the root of the problem. Our therapeutic approach will release your mind from the craving state, break your emotional dependence on food, and make it easy to make healthy choices. Listeners of The Kim Pagano Show get $100 off when you register for a course. Call us at 818-836-4600 or visit us at centerforeatingrecovery.com.
It's showtime.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us here on The Brighter Side of Life and The Brighter Side of Recovery. I do want to remind you of all of our shows from 6 to 7, 7 to 8, and then, of course, this show from 2 to 3, where we talk about the brighter side of life and in every way that we can. Our next guest, Melody Beatty, one of my favorites. She's been on our show before, and again, I was just sharing all of my amazing things that I do every day that kind of lifts me up and helps my day. And I read Melody Beatty's book of Letting Go. And so many of us are codependent. We don't know it. We don't know what that actually means. But I've kind of learned that with 4 kids and a husband and parents and all that stuff is sometimes we let other people kind of control our day and our feelings. And that's one of the things that Melody talks about a lot in all of her books. So let's bring her on. Melody Beatty, welcome. And thank you so much for coming back.
Thank you for having me, Kim.
Yeah, what a pleasure. And again, we're talking about your new book, Make Miracles in 40 Days. Tell us a little bit about you and why you write these great, amazing books and why you wrote this book.
Well, when I find something that really helps me, and really makes a difference in my life and other people's lives. That's what I've written my books about. I feel good that I've never written the same book twice just to write the next book. And in this book, Make Miracles in 40 Days, I don't like the title, although I chose it.
That's okay, Ms.
Critical,
right?
Because it's one of those titles you look at and it's like, oh, yeah, what kind of snake oil are they selling now?
That's
not anything I do, except with what I'm talking about in this book, it really is life-changing. And I found out about it way back in 1978, right after I married my husband, that taught me about my own codependency.
Mm-hmm. Can you first just start off with what is codependency for all of our listeners out there?
That's a tough question to answer because it hasn't ever been classified as an actual disorder, and it can mean different things to different people.
That's what I love about it. I really love that about it because...
Well, you know what's amazing? Hi, Melody, it's Sherry.
Hi.
Is that when you work in addiction, you uh-huh. know codependency, but I can't tell you how many clients will come in and no one's ever mentioned that word to them from other therapists.
Yeah, but I want to even say out of addiction, codependency is something that, you know, that happens every day in all of our lives.
And it can be rampant.
Right.
Absolutely rampant, and it can destroy lives as much as any other problem we encounter.
Yeah.
Can unless we start dealing with it. And the real surprise about codependency is it feels good when we start recovering from it.
Oh my gosh, I want to say it's like having a new boundary. Do you agree?
Oh, I really like setting boundaries.
Yeah.
They were so scary in the beginning, and now I mean I really enjoy it, just knowing that I can say what I want to say to people. I don't have to be mean about it. Unless I have to be mean because they won't go away. But we can say what we need to say. We can just be who we are. And actually, recovery from codependency is what I'd like to talk about. And what that means is
Please.
We connect to ourselves.
Mm.
So codependency is really meaning we're disconnected from ourselves.
Wow.
We're not connected to what we want, what we think, what we feel.
It's true. It's like when people go to Al-Anon, they think they're going to be talking about the addict. What they don't understand is they're going to be talking about and learning about themselves.
By the time I got into Al-Anon, I had been talking about the addict for years.
Exactly.
That's all I had talked about.
Exactly.
And I didn't want to do it anymore because that never brought me relief.
The stereotype, though, is that that's what you're going to do at an Al-Anon meeting, is you're just there for the addict, and it's just not true. And I want to say this, Melody, and I do want you to talk about what recovery of codependency looks like, is that you taught me how to have boundaries with compassion.
Yeah.
It's mm-hmm. not so black and white.
Yeah, I'm always envious of people with...
mean. And getting into recovery from codependency doesn't mean we have to go into treatment. It doesn't mean that we have to become... uncaring people who don't ever show nurturing or compassion to others. That isn't healthy either. And most people who aren't nurturing and aren't compassionate are afraid to. It's kind of another form of codependency. Being healthy means we can care about who we choose to care about in ways that are genuinely helpful and do things we want to do. Now, we all have to do some things we don't want to do in life, but codependence build their whole lives around things they don't really want to be doing.
And it's fluid. I think the relationships we have with people, the boundaries we have with people are fluid based on where we're at in our life and where that other person is, if we're talking about someone that we're codependent on.
Right. I mean, we can't buy a book of rules.
Right, right.
And I think that's what frustrates people. They've always wanted to know the rules from me. And really, treating our codependency means we let go of all these outdated rules that have been controlling our behaviors in relationships.
Wow, I love it.
We have the freedom to be who we are. We have the freedom to change our minds. Like you said, we have the freedom to make different decisions based on different needs or new awarenesses.
I'm always very envious, like I was saying before, of people who can make a boundary. They can say, I have a friend, and it's not about codependency so much, but if somebody starts gossiping about somebody she knows or someone she's friends with, she will say, I'm sorry, but I'm good friends with that person, and I don't even want to go there.
I'm
so envious that she will stop the person talking and say that.
Yeah, that she's that connected
uh-huh,
to herself.
That she can,
to know
that she
that's
can say
just
that.
Not something that she feels comfortable doing.
Yeah.
And so really the only rule is try and listen to ourselves the best that we can.
You know what I don't think people talk enough about is how we can inherit codependency. You know, my father passed away, and so I'm having this new relationship with my mother. Melody knows all about it. And basically, I have to share the story, and she probably won't hear the radio show, so it's fine. And I love you, Mom, wherever you are. But we were all going to go to dinner, and I couldn't make it at the time. She wanted to go, and she was also going with my daughter's boyfriend. My daughter was out of town, and she would not go if I didn't go because she was embarrassed what people would think with this really, you know, handsome young guy, just her and my daughter's boyfriend. She thought they'll think that I have a gigolo. I mean,
my God.
Can you believe that? I mean, it's unbelievable. So I realize I have inherited, and we talk about the gene of addiction. Why don't we talk about the gene of codependency? Because I know that I've had to work through so many codependency issues because I inherited it.
Don't you think that was a generational thing?
I was
with your
just
going
to say that. I think my moms must have the same face.
Well, then they're all codependent.
Yeah. And I really
it would be inappropriate. I'm thinking as your mom, it would be inappropriate to have dinner with this young man. Her grandson, like, I could see that age thinking that is where we would be like, oh, well, let's go because she's not here.
Yeah, I mean, I see what you're saying.
Or just to be that worried about what other people
think. Exactly. That's my point, Melody, is that, my God, really? You just lost your husband. Your darling daughter's boyfriend wants to take you to dinner. Can you just go?
Yeah, out of the country. Yeah. You know what's interesting? And that is a really big point right there because I know.
I meant granddaughter,
you know,
by the way.
My mom,
not my boyfriend,
will have maybe one ticket to a theater and she'll be like, but who? I don't want to embarrass or I don't want to make the other people feel bad. I'm like, you say, I have one ticket. Who's able to go?
Absolutely.
But I think it's a generation thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's like a people pleaser because you can say.
More of it is about the messages that get planted in our thinking. So much of our thinking is on automatic pilot. When I say thinking, I'm talking about our belief systems, the things we let ourselves do, the way we think about things is automatic. It's almost like we're programmed the same way our computers are programmed.
Wow.
And our computers will not exceed whatever program is in there. They can only do what's programmed in there. So if our thinking about behaviors, how we are in relationships, what we can and can't do, has been automatically programmed by our parents and by our grandparents and our great-grandparents, we're not thinking for ourselves. We are like very outdated computers acting on someone else's program.
Wow, that really talked to us. I mean,
well, you're not in your awareness. So your codependent behavior is from your mindlessness again.
You're
sort of
on
like
autopilot.
I think Warren was going to say something. Were you going to say something, Warren?
Yeah,
I mean,
Melody, do you think you see this more often in women than in men?
In some form of quiet meditation.
Melody?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. Melody?
Yeah, and then Warren. Somehow they overlapped.
Yeah.
Sure. Melody, do you see this more often, or do you think you've seen it more often in women than you've seen it in men?
No, absolutely not.
No?
It is. I'm not going to talk about the situation because the person I'm talking about will know I'm talking about that person. But it was a situation where there was a house, and it was like a independent owners in a house. It wasn't a condo association. The people had to act in goodwill to get things done because they all had units in that house. And one of the people that owned a unit in that building had, it was funny when it happened because I handle doing the paying the bills for the exterior of the building and doing other things. And we all have to agree when we want to do any change to the house because we all have to pay for it. And a new owner came in, and we needed really expensive work to be done. It was a result of the storms we had the winter before. But he didn't care about that. He had to put in a new driveway because there were some cracks in the driveway. I could literally see his father's programming working on him. A real man does not let their driveway get into that kind. I mean, I could see the programming he had about being a man take over his being, and it was driving him nuts. And I just said right out, I said, your dad was pretty much a stickler. And this was a man in his, a very successful man, that was being controlled by someone else's programming.
Yeah.
Well, I'm really glad that you've said that because one of the reasons I asked the question is, you know, in my own practice, I've seen many men that are like, no, that's not something that could be applied to me. That's, you know, that's a woman's thing. And
it's, no,
nice
it's, a,
to hear
it's really
from
a people
sort of the
issue.
Authority from you that no, we see this programming all over the place, regardless of gender.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, how can we not be programmed? I mean, if we if we took the time to think out every single decision we made or every value behind every decision we made, we'd never get anything done.
Right.
A lot of what we do has to be done on automatic programming, but a lot of us overdo it. And with some of it, it can keep us miserable our whole lives because we're stuck in a miserable thinking, you know, or negative thinking that we don't break, which, by the way, is the exercise in making miracles in 40 days can even get you through a depression or that kind of bitter, miserable existence that happens when our thinking is based on other people's programming or we're not aware of our own thinking.
You know, what you just said is our life is based on somebody else's life. I mean, right there, that just says it all. We're living on somebody else's terms instead of living on ours.
Right, and we're living on their values, we're living on their belief systems, and we haven't really decided, who am I, what is right for me, what are my values?
Sometimes it almost takes the passing. I mean, I have to say, losing my dad, I adored my dad, had a great relationship, but somehow I grew up.
Like
an adult now.
Yeah, it can be a loss of a person. To death can be a real trigger for examining our thinking because we're blown wide open. Yes.
I just want to remind anybody that's just tuning in. We're talking with Melody Beatty. We're talking about several of her books. I love what you do. You're amazing. We've got Warren Broad on the line with us. He's amazing. Cher Gaba, another amazing. Jennifer, Tom, I'm Kim. We're talking about, you know, our stories and how we live our lives. And so how can we make our lives be so worthwhile and get back on track?
I would think if the main symptom of codependency is a disconnection from ourself, then the opposite would be true for what we need to do to heal, and that's to connect with ourselves and to value that connection with ourselves. And that means taking care of ourselves. And people say, well, what does that mean? It doesn't mean pampering ourselves. It doesn't mean being obnoxious or having a black belt in Al-Anon and always being able to be mean to people. It means we know who we are, or we take time each day to find out who we are, how we feel, what we're feeling when we feel it, what we want. Are we doing something we don't want to do? Why?
And I like to think of it as owning our lost selves.
There you go. You know, we just had another great name on, Gary Chapman, the Five Love Languages, and he talked about selfishness is the opposite of love. And I kind of think that really sits the same place right here with what we're talking about. We need to love ourselves. We need to have a love affair with ourselves, correct?
Right. Although I think the problem could be that a lot of people don't know what love is. Some of us mistake it for that golden glow of lust that happens the first 3 months when we start dating someone.
Right.
Before we start seeing their bad sides or their problems. But I forget the name of the author that wrote this, but he was defining love for other people, and he defined it as being, and I'm paraphrasing, being present for and accepting of another human being.
Wow.
Now, if we take that definition and just put an I in there, loving myself would then mean I'm present for and accepting of who I am.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I like that because I think, you know, all the critics run with, self-love, that means you're going to be obnoxious, you're always going to come first, you're going to be rude, you're going to be mean. No, it doesn't, because that isn't being a healthy human being.
But I think self-love intimidates people. If you can accept your flaws and accept yourself for the way you are, but you're still happy and you genuinely like yourself, I think I sometimes feel like that scares people. Maybe people who are not as secure, it scares them, and they don't like to see that in people.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, too, not understanding, well, what is love? So many people I see in relationships are in a relationship because they're afraid to not be in one, truly.
Oh, isn't that crazy? And I think that's a behavior that starts when people are very young.
Very young. I am still amazed at the number of women that have never lived alone.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
And not just women, men, too.
Right.
I need to include the guys in this. And so many people are not in relationships with someone they would necessarily choose, but they're in a relationship with someone who who agreed to be in one with them.
And you know what else? You can actually be over the relationship and obviously still be hooked to the past.
Oh, I mean, absolutely.
And then you may as well not
get stuck in a relationship, and then it becomes a habit. And who wants to break that habit? Because they'll have to go through all that fear about.
They might actually have to know themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's scary. You know, Melody, I know that you talk about a 6-week action plan to establish miracles. And why do you think miracles are so important in our lives?
I'm using the word miracle probably in a different way in this book than a lot of people think. I'm using it to define those things that we cannot change ourselves. Maybe we should be able to change them, but we can't for whatever reason. Anytime we get stuck, anytime I get stuck, anytime I start hurting, get too negative, when I do this activity, it now works in a day for me. When I started doing it, it would take about 6 weeks to move through something I was really stuck in.
Wow.
It takes 10 minutes a day, and it really is an activity that connects us to our true self.
I love it. We're at the end of our show. I mean, I have to have you back. You're like, I'm serious. I love what you talk about. Like I said, I read your books every morning. Kind of starts my day. You always talk about it. Just always feels right. And thank you so much for being a guest. Will you stay on with us for a second longer? We're going to have you, you know, talk to us after.
Yep.
But Warren Broad, thank you again for being a part of our show. Sherry, Jennifer, Tom,
so
and all of our listeners out there. God, find the miracle in your life and really find the love. If you've been disconnected from yourself, find how to connect back with it. Go check out Melody. Go ahead.
It isn't that hard to be happy.
No, I love that. I love that. So, again, we're going to end this part of our show with a moment of happiness. Do what you have to do until you can do what you want to do. With that, you've been listening to The Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Recovery. Thanks, Warren.